Heavenly Father, be in my speaking and in our listening, that together we may bring glory to your name. Amen. We live in such a different world from the one I remember when growing up as a teenager in the 60s. In those days, the olden days, as my granddaughter says, if you wanted to contact your friends, you'd look up their number in your address book and carefully dial, on a landline of course, letting the dialer run back to zero after each number, and you'd arrange to meet them in a coffee bar to catch up. Nowadays, we live in such an interconnected world that everything we need to know is available at the touch of a keyboard or a mobile phone in our own homes. We connect with our friends on Facebook, and the internet connects us in so many ways beyond social networks. How much of our shopping, letter writing, banking, doctor's appointments, even the power grid, touches the internet, whether we own a computer or not? But it's so easy, isn't it, in this interconnected world, to lose track of the most important connection of all, our connection to Jesus. In this year of prayer, we're all refreshing our minds about the importance of prayer as the crucial way of making this connection. In our reading from John's Gospel this morning, Jesus describes the relationship that exists between him and his disciples using the analogy of a vine and its branches. I'd say there's hardly a passage in all the New Testament that better defines the nature of Christian discipleship. Jesus tells us what God wants from us, what God does for us, and what God expects of us. First of all, what does God want from us? We're told he wants us to bear fruit. But what is this fruit that we're called to bear? From other passages, we can gather that he wants us to bear the fruit of what I'd call the three C's: Christian character, Christian conduct, and Christian converts. To begin with Christian character, Paul describes in his letter to the Galatians the fruit produced in us by the Spirit when we're fully connected to Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the qualities that we see in Jesus, and these are the ones he brings about in us as long as we stay connected. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians, the greatest of these qualities is love. And we heard today that we love because God first loved us. He shows us what it means to love. What about Christian conduct? In Paul's first letter to the Colossians, we hear that we're supposed to lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as we bear fruit in every good work. So, Christian character produces Christian conduct. If we stay connected to Jesus and have his Spirit living in us, then he will produce Christ-like conduct through us as we grow more and more like him. In addition to Christian character and Christian conduct, we should also bear the fruit of Christian converts. They are the fruit harvested for God. There's a chance that people may come to seek Jesus because of the Christian character and conduct that they see in us. In the encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we have a good example of how this may happen. Philip started where the Ethiopian was and brought the gospel to bear on his concerns. So Philip's obedience to the word of God led to the gospel being carried into the power structures of another government. Who knows what we too may set in motion when we just grab a God-given opportunity to speak the word of God into another person's life. So God wants us to bear the fruit of Christian character, conduct, and converts. But Jesus not only tells us what God wants from us, he also describes what God does for us. Today's gospel tells us that he does four things to help us produce a harvest for him. He grafts us, he feeds us, he lifts us, and he prunes us. First of all, he grafts us. None of us are connected to Jesus by birth or by being brought up in a Christian family. We must be grafted into the vine of Christ through faith in Christ and a positive commitment to him if we're to have any hope of bearing fruit for him. Unless this happens, we're all wild shoots destined for burning, no matter how good a life we try to lead in our own strength. Sounds rather harsh, but that's what we heard in the gospel reading. Next, God feeds us. When we're grafted into Jesus the vine, God pumps spiritual life and vitality into us. So the fruit we bear is God's work in us and doesn't happen in our own strength. He feeds us with all we need as long as we abide in him. Of course, there will always be times when we branches start to droop a little and become less fruitful. I'm quite sure that this doesn't mean that we'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. I can't believe that God would let this happen. Rather than take literally the statement, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, I prefer to believe that it's at these times that he just lifts us, gives us more support until we're fruitful again. I don't know much about vines, but I do know that when the branches on our tomatoes begin to droop, we just give the plant more water and more feed and even tie them up to support them as they revive. What about pruning? Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Going back to the tomatoes, I really can understand what he means. As the plant grows and begins to produce fruiting sprays, it also produces non-fruiting little side shoots or suckers, which need to be removed before they start to divert nourishment from the fruiting stems. It makes me think of all the suckers which may divert us from fruit production. There may be certain activities in our lives which consume so much of our energy that we have little time left for prayer, Bible study, loving service, or Christian witness. With God's help, we may have to trim our lives of the superfluous so we can spend more time on the things that really matter, eternal things that bear lasting fruit for God and for his kingdom. Well, so far we've seen what God wants from us and what God does for us. Now, what does God expect of us? He expects us to abide in Christ. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. As we abide in him, we receive God's help. We have to cultivate a close connection with him through the Word of God, through personal prayer, and through Christian fellowship. First, we cultivate our connection with Jesus through the Word of God. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I think it works like this. If we fill our minds with the Word of Christ, then we'll begin to think like him and act like him. Then as we pray, we'll be asking for help to produce the fruit of Christian character, conduct, and converts. Of course, we still need to bring him our prayers for the physical situation of ourselves and others, but we'll perhaps be more aware of the part which we ourselves can play in bringing about God's purposes for his world and for his people. Rather than telling God how we want life to be, we can pray that he does whatever is necessary to keep us connected to Jesus so that we bear much fruit. I'm sure that our 10 days of 24/7 prayer will be very powerful in making important changes, both in ourselves and in the lives of those for whom we pray. Finally, if we want to abide in Christ, then we have to seek Christian fellowship. I'm sure we best bear fruit when we're part of a loving community of fellow Christians who are studying together, praying together, loving one another, and encouraging each other to bear fruit that will last. Our home groups provide an ideal opportunity for this, and I would certainly encourage everyone to belong to one. This may mean starting up new ones to accommodate, say, a particular need or a particular age group, but it's worth thinking about. I mentioned at the beginning how many people are connected via Facebook. And while not a dedicated fan myself, I occasionally have some good material passed on to me. A recent one fits in rather well with this sermon, and it goes like this, quote, "You are holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and shoves you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? Well, because someone bumped into me, of course. Wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because coffee was in the cup. If tea had been in it, you would have spilled tea. Whatever is inside the cup is what will come out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside of you will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills over? Joy, gratefulness, peace and humility, or anger, bitterness, harsh words and actions? You choose. Let's work towards filling our cups with gratitude, forgiveness, joy, words of affirmation to yourself and others, kindness, gentleness, and love." Unquote. You see, Facebook can sometimes come up with a thought-provoking illustration which makes us ask ourselves, are we connected to the vine? Have we been grafted into Christ by baptism and made his own by faith? Are we bearing the fruit of Christian character, Christian conduct, and Christian converts? God wants to feed us, lift us, and prune us so that we can bear fruit for his glory. And we can if we'll abide in Christ through his word, through fellowship, and through prayer. May each of us bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit, for God's glory. Amen.